We're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 4, verse 197. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? Purport. The uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on the Vedanta philosophy are divided into four sampradayas, or transcendental parties. Out of the four sampradayas, the Sri Madhvacharya sampradaya was accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Thus, he took sannyas according to parampara, the disciplic succession. Beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the acharya named Lakshmipati, there was no realization of devotional service in conjugal love. Sri Madhavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya sampradaya. And this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured South India and met the Tattvavadis, who supposedly belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service in separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus, he addresses the Lord as Dina Dayardranatha, as did Madhavendra Puri. Such an ecstatic feeling in the highest form of devotional service. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. Because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus, "My dear Lord, because of my separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor, and you are very merciful. So kindly have compassion upon me and let me know when I shall see you." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feelings experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri. All the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. Om Adnanti Vrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namahum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So we are continuing the series of talks on the life and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We heard yesterday about the childhood pastimes of Mahaprabhu and how he was a great scholar. And the topic that I was assigned was Mahaprabhu taking sannyas and the glories of Madhavendra Puri. Since each of these topics can be spoken for several days, we have about 40 minutes to cover. So I shall summarize by the mercy of the previous acharyas and Srila Prabhupada what I have understood. So So Mahaprabhu, he appeared in this world to shower his mercy to all of us on Saturday, the 18th of February, 1486. I was just doing some calculations last night, and hence I know. So he appeared on the Saturday, 18th of February, 1486. And he finished his earthly pastimes on Sunday, the 14th of June, 1534. So he was about 48 years, 4 months in his manifest pastimes. His life of 48 years is divided into three leelas, Adi, Madhya and Antya Leela. And at the age of 24, on Makar Sankranti, Tuesday the 15th of January 1510, when he was 24 years old, he accepted sannyas. So why did Mahaprabhu accept sannyas? So there are external reasons that we are aware of, and then there are internal reasons. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, we find, especially in the 17th chapter, we find that Mahaprabhu was a great scholar. He had opened a school and he was teaching grammar, Sanskrit grammar. But he had a unique way of teaching Sanskrit grammar. He would teach the grammar by the names of Hari, Krishna. And one day when his students had come to resolve some doubts, he was chanting Gopi, 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 like Krishna feeling separation from the gopis. As he was chanting Gopi, 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 the students mocked him. And they laughed at him and tried to, you know, make him feel uneasy. And he came to external consciousness, started chasing those students. And as a result, the entire Smartha Brahmana community, Smartha Brahmanas are those who consider themselves as Brahmanas by birth. Just like a doctor's son may consider himself to be a doctor by birth. I don't know how right that is, but so the Smartha Brahmanas considered themselves Smartha Brahmanas by birth. And they thought, Nimai Pandit, he's a Brahmana like us. However, he's lost his mind. They were scheming to come together and beat him up. When Mahaprabhu noticed this, he realized that if they are disrespectful towards me, and they do any, you know, they offend me, it'll be the same as taking, you know, giving enough, being offending to Lord Vishnu or Krishna. And hence he thought, to save them, let me take sannyas. So this is the external understanding. Again, in Madhya Leela, chapter 3, we see how Mahaprabhu then escaped. He first speaks to Nityananda Prabhu. Reveals his mind that I want to take sannyas. He then escapes. He speaks to Sachimata, Vishnupriya, and then escapes. Swims across the Ganges. In fact, it's interesting that ghat where he swam across is called Nidoyar Ghat. Nidoyar in Bengali means heartless ghat, because that's when Mahaprabhu left Navadvip. So he swam across Nidoyar Ghat, went to Katwa, met Kesho Bharti, gave him the mantra in his ears, the sannyasa mantra. And then Kesho Bharti gave the same mantra back to Mahaprabhu, because who can initiate Krishna? So this is the pastime of his taking sannyas. There is another pastime. There's another internal pastime. I believe I spoke about this 6 years ago at the manor. Govind Prabhu was there. He'll remember. He's got a very good memory. So this pastime is a more internal, secret pastime. And I wouldn't be able to do full justice to go into all the details. However, I'll provide you some synopsis and leave some time for glories of Madhavendra Puri. So it so happened that in Vrindavan, One particular night, close to Vasant Panchami, Srimati Radharani was in her forest grove. Kunja means a forest grove. And she was with her friends, Lalita and Vishakha. And she was waiting for Krishna, as they would meet every evening. She was waiting for Krishna to arrive. However, he did not turn up. So both Lalita and Vishakha were contemplative and upset. Why has he yet not come? Is he stuck somewhere? Thinking that, Vishakha deputed a duta. Duta, a female duta is called duti. Duti means one who carries a message. To go and search for Krishna. Where is he? Why is he on his way? Is he not left home yet? So as the duti went about looking for Krishna, she came across Shaibya and Padma. So just like Srimati Radharani's two best friends are, Srimati Lalita Devi and Srimati Vishakha Devi, Chandravali Devi's two best friends or servitors, primary servitors are Shaibya and Padma. And when this duti came across Shaibya and Padma, she inquired, "Have you seen Krishna?" And immediately they said, "Of course. We were just with him." "Oh, where is he?" "He's with Chandravali. He's there with him, with her." So having heard this, the duti went and gave the message to Vishakha Devi. And Vishakha Devi and Lalita Devi were extremely upset. Because it is explained that Srimati Radharani's mood is Vamya Bhava. Vamya Bhava is like a leftist mood, which means she apparently exhibits pride. In Barsana, we have one of the three important peaks is Mangad, where Manalila happens, where Srimati Radharani is apparently proud and does not want to see the face of Krishna ever again. So she exhibits this particular mood. And exhibiting this mood, Srimati Radharani instructed Vishakha, "Now if Krishna comes, don't let him in. I do not wish to see him." So Vishakha Devi and Lalita Devi, they were guarding the kunja. And after some time, Lord Krishna came. As he was about to enter, he was stopped by Lalita and Vishakha. They said, "You are late. And we know where you've been. And now we don't want you to see Srimati Radharani." So Krishna apparently became dejected in his heart. He went to the bank of Yamuna and started contemplating. And actually he had tears in his eyes. At that time, Purnamasi is the grand old lady of Vrindavan. She's also Yogamaya Devi. She's the one who brings about all the pastimes together. So Yogamaya Devi, she saw Krishna in tears and she asked him what the matter was. Krishna revealed his heart and Yogamaya Devi said, "I have a plan for you. If you speak to Vrinda Devi, she will tell you how you can see Srimati Radharani." So Krishna was very excited. He went to Vrinda Devi. He speaks to her and Vrinda Devi reveals something. She says, "Well, there will be no entrance for you. Where Lalita and Vishakha are guarding, you have no entrance. There's no way you can appease them because you are not their master, Srimati Radharani. They are more affiliated to Srimati Radharani than to you. So nothing will budge their minds. They will not, no matter how hard you try. But hence I have a plan. If you give up your dress as this threefold bending cowherd boy, give up your flute and accept a danda. Give up your peacock feather and shave your head and keep a shikha. And give up this dress, this saffron dhoti that you have, and instead wear a saffron kopin. Dress like a sannyasi. And if you go there singing a song that I teach you, then they will let you in. So Krishna said, okay, what's the song? So we don't have time to go through all the details, but the song essentially meant, O Srimati Radharani, your superiority is known in the three worlds. You're dressed in beautiful blue sari. That's Srimati Radharani's favorite color, blue. The blue rain cloud blue, which is the color of Lord Sri Krishna. So, and the Lord's favorite color is saffron, which is Tapta Kanchana, the bodily hue of Srimati Radharani. So, the song was, you have covered yourself with this blue sari, you're beautiful, you are all glorious, and so much is your glory that even Krishna is crying tears, torrents of tears, begging for your love. But you have kept him away. Hearing this, so this is a song Krishna was singing, dressed as a sannyasi. He walked past the groves where Lalita and Vishakha were guarding. And Srimati Radharani was very, very sorrowful inside. She was in her heart, she wanted to see Krishna, but she was exhibiting externally pride. So as the sannyasi passed, Vishakha Devi heard, and he said, oh, sadhu, maybe you can help my friend. She is very dejected. She is upset. And who's taught you this song? It's a wonderful song. So the sannyasi said, ah, my guru, Gandharvika, she taught me this song. And she's told me that I can, through this song, I can embalm, I can alleviate the pain of the heart of anyone. So Vishakha Devi said, maybe you can help my friend. And the sannyasi, which is Krishna, he said, sure. And then Vishakha Devi says, maybe you can look at her palm and read her fortune and tell her what her future is. So, saying that, somehow Krishna convinced Vishakha Devi that I would like to go inside and see your friend. Initially, Vishakha Devi said, no, no, no man can go inside. Krishna said, no, I am a sannyasi, I am a vigata spriha. Vigata spriha means I have no desires. I'm completely aloof. She doesn't have to worry at all from me. So saying that, they allowed him to go in. And then Krishna sang the song. And as Krishna sang the song, Srimati Radharani, with tears in her eyes, she responded back. She responded with this verse. Ashlishyava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanan marmahatam karotuva yatha tathava vidadhatulam pato mat prananathas tusa eva napara. This is Mahaprabhu's last verse of Shikshashtakam, the ultimate mood which is exhibited by Srimati Radharani. What did she say to the sannyasi? She said, Ashlishyava. Ashlishya means embraced. Whether I am embraced, Padaratam Pinashtumam. Padaratam. My mood is that I am unconditionally attached to the feet. Rata means one who is attached. Padarata. Attached to the feet. Somebody who's attached to the feet, somebody who drops to your feet, you might feel so compassionate, may lift him up and say, please don't do that. If somebody pays your businesses, we say, no, please don't do that. Srimati Radharani is saying, Padaratam Pinashtumam. Imagine somebody falls at your feet and instead of compassionately uplifting that person. You actually use your feet to crush that person into pieces. Pinashtu actually comes from the dhatu, the root word pish. Pish means to make into a paste. The English word paste comes from Sanskrit word pisht, which means paste, which is the word used here by Mahaprabhu. So, the person whose feet I am surrendered to, he may completely, trample upon me, make me into a paste, in the sense that may completely neglect me. Adarshanat, or by not being indifferent. So either somebody loves you, somebody hates you, or somebody becomes indifferent to you. Three things. So she's saying, if Krishna loves me and embraces me, or if Krishna, so Ashlishya means he embraces me out of love. Pinashtumam, he crushes me into a paste out of dislike towards me. Or Adarshanat, he does not even look at me, completely indifferent. Adarshanat marmahatam. Marma means that place which is the most sensitive, the most vital organ is called marma. Marma means, what's the most vital organ? The heart. So marma hata. Hata means to kill or to break. Or whether he breaks my heart, marma hatam. How? Adarshanat, by being indifferent. You know, when somebody is indifferent, it breaks our heart more. So Srimati Radharani says, if Krishna is Adarshanat, by not looking at me, by not giving me his audience, breaks my heart, still, karotu va means or, he does this or that. Yatha tathava vidadhatu lampato. Yatha tathava, this way or that way. Vidadhatu. Vidadhatu comes from dha, means to put, to place, to treat. Vidadhatu, to treat in a bad manner, to treat not as I desire. You know, the love in the material world is through expectations. If I am loving you, you must love me. If you don't love me, I don't love you anymore. Here Srimati Radharani is saying, yatha tathava vidadhatu lampato. Somehow or the other, in whichever way you wish, you may treat me. Lampato. Lampataha means one who is hard to please. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice meaning, but we may not be able to understand that at our level. But lampato generally means very hard to please. You, my Lord, mat prananathah, you will remain the Lord of my life. Tu, indeed you will remain. Sa eva, he, Krishna, you will remain the Lord of my life. Na aparah, no one else will assume that position. This is ananya bhakti. This is eka bhakti. When does one go back to Godhead for sure, or becomes completely controlled by Krishna? When one gives oneself completely to Krishna. Not partially, completely. With no other shelter other than him. This is Srimati Radharani's mood. This is the mood of Audarya. Audarya means to give oneself completely. Bhaktivinoda Thakur defines Audarya as he who has given himself completely, that is Audarya. Srimati Radharani personifies this mood of Audarya. So Srimati Radharani, when she says this verse, with tears in her eyes, Vishakha Devi, she pacifies Srimati Radharani. And at that very moment, Krishna reveals himself. He immediately turns back into his threefold bending form with peacock feather and a flute. as soon as he reveals himself, Vishakha Devi becomes surprised. And she says these words. And Govind Prabhu knows where these words are from. Anyone else knows? Please let me know. Vishakha Devi says, Pahile dekhilu tomar sanyasi sharupa. Ebe toma dekhi mui shyama goparupa. Anyone knows where these words are from? Who spoke these words? In Madhya Leela, chapter 8, these words are spoken by Ramananda Rai to Mahaprabhu. What do the words mean? Pahile dekhilu tomar sanyasi sharupa. Initially I saw you as a sannyasi, Vishakha Devi says. And now, ebe toma dekhi mui shyama goparupa. And now I see you as this Shyama Gopa, Krishna. Who is Ramananda Rai? According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is Vishakha Devi. So he is having this discussion with Lord Chaitanya. Tomorrow, we will discuss about Ramananda Rai's beautiful conversation with Mahaprabhu. That's not the subject of today. But at the end of this pastime, Krishna tells Vishakha Devi, I only understand Madhurya. Is that my phone? No. I only understand Madhurya, sweetness, but I can't understand the Audarya. How can Srimati Radharani give her very self? Actually, Srimati Radharani is non-different from Krishna. It's like sun and sunlight. So we should not think of them as separate. But Krishna is exemplifying this mood that he's feeling. How can she give herself totally? What is her Audarya? So Vishakha Devi at that point says, to taste the Audarya of Srimati Radharani, you will have to come and take the beautiful golden form of Radharani, Tapta Kanchana. Like Tapta Kanchana, Gaurangi, you will have to take Gauravesh and dress up as a sannyasi, like you pretended to attempt to taste the mood of Srimati Radharani. And this is why we say, Mahaprabhu, the golden avatar, Namo Maha Vadanyaya. Not Vadanyaya, Vadana means mouth. If you say Namo Mahavadanyaya, one who has got a big mouth. So please don't say like this. Namo Mahavadanyaya. Dana. Dana means to give. Dana means to give. So it's Vadanya, not Vadanya. Vadan means big mouth. Sometimes, if you know Sanskrit and you hear somebody speaking incorrectly, it's like you feel unhappy, you know, your ear starts. Yeah, so Namo Maha Vadanyaya. Vadanya means Vadati Sarvebhyaha Dasyami Iti. Vadanya. Vadati, he says to everyone, you want something? I'll give it. What do you want? I'll give it. What do you want? I will give that. Vadati Sarvebhyaha Dasyami Iti Vadanya. So he gives everything that everyone wants. Whatever one wants, one can ask Mahaprabhu. Yes, even material things. Mahaprabhu will give easier than Krishna. But that's not his real gift. What is his real gift? Namo Maha Vadanyaya. Krishna Prema Pradayate. What nobody else can give, he can give. Krishna Prema Pradayate. That is why Krishnaya. He's non-different from Krishna. Krishna Chaitanya Namne. His name is Krishna Chaitanya. And what is his effulgence, I mean his bodily form? Gauratvishe. Tvishe means the skin color, the effulgence. Gaura. Golden like Gaurangi, like Srimati Radharani. So this is why he took sannyas, to become a sannyasi, to experience the mood of Srimati Radharani. Gauratvishe namaha. So this is one particular internal understanding of why Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So, yeah. Some announcement or? No. Okay. So then when Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, what did he do? Where did he go? What happened? Where did he go first? After taking sannyas. What was he instructed? What did he want to do? He wanted to go to Vrindavan. However, what was he discouraged to do? He was discouraged from going to Vrindavan. Instead, he was led to? Yes. Shantipur. Advaita Acharya's house, where Shachi Mata for the last time wanted to cook for Mahaprabhu and feed him. So Shachi Mata fed him at Advaita Acharya's house, and then Mahaprabhu went to, on his way to what? Which place? Shachi Mata said, don't go to Vrindavan, it's very far. You stay at Jagannath Puri. So he, as he was going towards Jagannath Puri, one of the first places he went to was Remuna. Remuna was one of the first places. What temple is there at Remuna? Kshirchor Gopinath or Kshirchor Gopinath. In Hindi they say Kshirchor. Kshirchor Gopinath. So Madhavendra Puri, who comes in the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya. Madhavendra Puri's guru was Lakshmipati Tirtha. Madhavendra Puri's foremost disciple was Ishwara Puri. And Ishwara Puri is the personality from whom Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Diksha. Diksha in the 10-syllable Gopijana Vallava Mantra. So Mahaprabhu was initiated in the Gopala Mantra. 10-syllable Gopala Mantra. It's not the one you think. I can tell you what it is later. So it's given by Keshav Kashmiri in a Kramadipika, the 10-syllable mantra. That's the reference. Anyway, so Mahaprabhu was initiated by Ishwara Puri. And Ishwara Puri, so how did that come about? In 1501, when Mahaprabhu was 15 years old, he had just got married to Lakshmi Priya. Yes, he was 15 when he got married to Lakshmi Priya. At that time, Ishwara Puri had come to Navadvip on his tour of India. And he had come to Mahaprabhu's house. And that's when Mahaprabhu saw him for the first time. And 5 years later, 4 years later, in 1505, when Mahaprabhu went to Gaya to do Pitritarpan for Jagannath Mishra, that time in Gaya, he visited Vishnupad. There's a beautiful temple of Vishnupad if you go to Gaya. And there, after visiting Vishnupad, just outside he saw Ishwara Puri. So that's where he met Ishwara Puri. And having met Ishwara Puri, he took initiation from Ishwara Puri. So that was the time when he first took initiation. However, when he was visiting Kshirchor Gopinath, Mahaprabhu remembered the glories of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, he was a great sannyasi in Madhva Sampradaya. And in Madhva Sampradaya, they do not discuss the loving relationship between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. They don't do that. In fact, they believe that Lakshmi Devi is also an elevated jiva, who is a special category jiva, who is subservient to Narayan. Whereas Madhavendra Puri, when he left this world, he sang a particular verse, this particular verse that we have today here. This is the verse he sang. Singing this verse, he left this world. What is this verse? Ai deena dayardra nath hai. Ai, oh, with calling from the heart. Oh, deena dayardra. Daya ardra. Daya means compassion. Ardra means one whose compassion runs like water. You know how water flows? Dayardra means his compassion flows just like a liquid. He's not hard. He's not hard to feel compassion. His compassion flows. Daya ardra natha. O Lord, whose compassion is flowing. Ai deena dayardra. And towards whom is your compassion flowing? Towards the deena. Towards the lowly. Towards those who are really afflicted by this material world, the samsara. You are especially merciful to them. Ai deena dayardra natha hai. O my Lord. Mathura natha. O Lord of Mathura. Not Lord of Vrindavan. Lord of Mathura. So you'd have to think, why does it say Lord of Mathura? At the time of death, when his breath was going out, we are all going to die one day. People are fearful of dying from coronavirus these days. But we have the appearance of Karuna Avatar coming. Yeah. And we have to be both careful but not fearful. We have to not panic but be prudent. Like Vasudev in 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Vasudev, when Devaki was being pulled by the hair by Kamsa and Kamsa wanted to kill Devaki. There's a beautiful verse. That's not the topic, so I'll not diverge too much. But it's a beautiful verse where Shukdev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj, an intelligent man is he who protects his life from death by all means, by using his intelligence. So an intelligent man shouldn't think, oh well, you know, I'm a devotee, I don't care. So one has to be careful, but not panicky or fearful. So one has to find that balance. So coronavirus or not, we will all die anyway. and the world is not going to end because it's only been about 5,221 years of Kali Yuga. So many more from the total 432,000 years is left. So we don't need to worry. But the world's not going to end. But at the same time, we take full shelter of Mahaprabhu, of Krishna. And here, the last, where his breath is leaving, Madhavendapuri is saying, Mathura Nath, O Lord of Mathura, Kada avalokyase. Kada, when? Avalokyase. Actually, if we try to understand this, avalokyase means, when will you reveal yourself to me by your own free will? Avalokyase is atmanepadi in grammar, which means an action which is performed by a person out of his own free will, not because somebody asks him to. So it's the beauty is here, avalokyase, which means, when will you reveal yourself to me by your own free will? O Mathuranath, what's happening to my heart? Hridayam tvad aloka kataram. Kataram means it's being chopped into pieces. It is being split. Aloka, when I don't see you, my Lord. My heart, hridayam tvad aloka, by not seeing you, my heart is being cut into pieces. Daita, oh my darling, oh dear. Brahmyati, my heart, my mind is confused. Kim karomyaham, what do I do? What do I do? Kim karomyaham. Actually, traditionally, when this verse is sung, the words kim karomyaham is sung twice. Because it means, you know, the ardent desire. What do I do? What do I do? So who do you think sang this verse? O Lord of Mathura, O my darling, having not seen you in front of me, my heart is being chopped into pieces. You are the most merciful. Who do you think sang this? Yes. Srimati Radharani sings this verse. She sang this verse from her mouth when Krishna left Vrindavan. So what is the mood that Srimati Radharani displayed? The mood of separation. Separation is called Vipralambha. Vipralambha. Lambha means extended. Pra means very much extended. V means very, very extended. So Vipralambha. Very, 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 very extended. So very much separated. That's the meaning of Vipralambha. So that's the mood. So the mood of separation, Madhavendra Puri, he sang this verse, and having sang this verse, he left his body. Who can understand the mood of Madhavendra Puri? And isn't it beautiful that Mahaprabhu, he started displaying his Vipralambha bhav after taking sannyas by first visiting Remuna. And in Remuna, Mahaprabhu sang this verse. And this is the initiation of the Vipralambha mood. And as Prabhupada says in his purport, this mood of Vipralambha is the highest understanding of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And that is the mood which Madhavendra Puri exemplified. So in Madhva Leela, we have a few verses, and I'll stop in 5 minutes. Mahaprabhu was saying this verse, Eto boli pode prabhu tara krita shloka, jai shloka chandre jagat, koriyache aloka. Mahaprabhu sang this verse in Remuna, in front of Shirchor Gopinath. This verse, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, is like the moonlight, which is giving or soothing to the heart of the devotees. Goshite goshite jaiche malayaja sara gandha bode taiche shlokera bichara. Just like chandan, sandalwood, becomes more and more beautiful and more fragrant as we start rubbing the chandan, it becomes more and more fragrant. Similarly, by meditating on this verse, one understands more and more deeper the mood of Srimati Radharani. Ratna gana madhye jaiche koshtubha mani rasa kavya madhye taiche ei shloka gani. Just like Kaustubha, which is on the chest of Lord Vishnu, is the best of all gems. Similarly, this particular one verse is the best of all poetic gems. Ei shloka kohiyachena Radha Thakurani. Srimati Radharani has spoken this verse. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami confirms. Ei shloka kohiyachena Radha Thakurani. Tara kripai sphuriyache Madhavendra Vani. By her instigation, by her inspiration, this verse came out from the mouth of Madhavendra Puri, who is considered to be like the Kalpataru tree, and whose disciple Ishwara Puri is considered to be a sapling of that Kalpataru tree, whose initiation Lord Chaitanya took. Kiba Gaura Chandra Iha Kore Ashvadana Iha Ashvadite Ara Nahi Chautha Gana. Just see how Gaura Chandra, with tears in his eyes, relished, as a sannyasi, he relished this verse. In fact, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, no fourth person can relish this verse. No fourth person. So who three relish this verse? Anyone? Who are the three who relish this verse? Madhavendra Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srimati Radharani. No fourth person. What about Krishna? They rule him out. Prabhupada in his purport to this verse also says, Krishna cannot understand this. This is one verse Krishna can't understand. So can we understand? No, we can't, of course. So this is the only one verse in all of Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna can't understand. No fourth person. Kaviraj Goswami says, Kiba Gaurachandra iha kore ashwadana. Just see how Gaurachandra is relishing this verse. Iha ashwadite ara nahi chautha gana. Fourth person is not there. Only Radharani, Madan Puri and Lord Chaitanya. Nobody else can understand and relish this verse. Sheshakale ei shloka pothite pothite siddhi prapti hoila purir shlokera shahite. At the last moment, as the last breath of life left the mouth of Madhavendra Puri, he kept on repeating, Ai Dina Dayardra Nathahe, Ai Dina Dayardra, Kim Karomiham, Kim Karomiham, Kim Karomiham. And he left his body. So this is the glories of Shripad Madhavendra Puri. So today is the disappearance day. Today is the day when Madhavendra Puri left this world. And hence, I tried to quickly summarize both the beautiful internal reason why on the instruction of Vishakha Devi, Krishna took sannyas as Mahaprabhu. And actually, Mahaprabhu goes to Rajahmundry in South India, in today's Telangana, in India. And in Rajahmundry, he meets Ramananda Rai, who is Vishakha. And he asks Vishakha to instruct him, apparently treating him as his guru in Mahaprabhu's pastime. So we see the same interaction, Vishakha Devi's instruction to Krishna, and then Krishna assuming the form of a sannyasi. And we also saw how Madhavendra Puri was the first personality who through this particular verse gave us or gave the inception of the mood of Vipralamba, the mood of loving separation. So, any questions, comments, or corrections? Anyone?